Today's scripture reading is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 21 through 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in, who brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth. When he blows upon them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them all by name. Because he is great in strength, mighty in power. Not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The word of God for the people of God. Please stand as you are comfortable for the gospel reading found in Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 39. Jesus heals many at Simon's house. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed by demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. A preaching tour in Galilee. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go into the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout all of Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is the gospel of Christ.
Do you have a favorite scripture? Do you have one really top scripture? Some people can actually say it out loud and out of nowhere they can quote it. That's not me. I know them, I can find them, but I did find a way to remember one particular scripture. As I began focusing on today's order of worship honoring Black History Month, a scripture related to God's ordering my steps reminded me of my seminary graduation. It was in 2001. That wasn't that long ago, was it? I'm not sure. Our theme was based on Micah 6, verse 8, regarding justice. We graduates during the service sang a Jim Strathdee song. It's actually in our little black book, number 2174, but I'm just going to give you a hint about it. There's one line that people sing. What does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require of you? Any of you ever heard that part? And then the next part comes in while these people are still singing, what does the Lord require? Justice, kindness, walk humbly with your God. And then the next group comes in, to seek justice and love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. We're not going to do it together today, but I'm hoping we'll do it together soon. But it fits today, doesn't it? And it's meaningful, and it's kind of catchy. To seek justice, and love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. It's kind of catchy, and you may be singing it all the rest of the day. You know how that happens. And you're welcome. I adopted that Micah text as my scripture for the next step of my faith journey beyond seminary. And that led me to create a word called Faith Steppen. I may have told some of you about that before. That's my part of my email address. It's not my password. I chose it to remind me to faithfully walk forward as Isaiah proclaims, and then wait upon the Lord. Since 2001, I've had many opportunities to experience inspirations and various callings as a pastor. And then I retired in April 2019. On April 1st, but it wasn't a joke. It was for a very serious reason. And somehow, when I've stepped forward in faith, sometimes, even in that time, I skipped a vital step of making the Word the priority. This morning's anthem came along at just the right time to inspire me to ask God to order my steps. But it doesn't stop there. The next part in the song is, what? In your Word, right? Well, that's my responsibility. That's your responsibility. We can ask God to order our steps. And one of the things about the catchy phrases in this anthem was, please order my steps in your Word, right? Did you hear? We sang it a couple of times. Did you catch that? Please, God, please order my steps. Well, this gospel song's author, Glenn Edward Burleigh's roots were in the Black Church, and Order My Steps earned several honors and awards since its publication years ago. And I heard it at our bishop's installation. We heard it at our bishop's installation, and that just kind of sparked it for me as well. Now, this year's Black History Month is the 115th anniversary of the founding of the NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement of Color People, in 1909. I remember some things, but I don't remember very many things, and I just thought I would share with you some that I learned. And I certainly haven't studied anything about, well, I've studied it, I've heard it, but I haven't focused on it for the next 87 years after the NAACP was founded. I wasn't there. I do remember learning that on October 16th, 1995, an enormous crowd, estimated at 870,000 men, African American men mostly, demonstrated on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. Do you remember seeing that on the news and hearing about all of that? I just think that event was so powerful, and I saw it, but then so much has happened since then. That event was known as the Million Man March, and they almost made it, didn't they? The men came in response to a call by the Nation of Islam's leader minister, Louis Farrakhan. And the stated objective was to atone and address the problems particular to the Black community. Driven by their desire to see Congress act in the interests of the African Americans and to combat negative stereotypes of Black men, attendees converged for 12 hours. Can you imagine being out on the mall? For 12 hours, there were speakers, There were leaders. There was music. And there was Maya Angelou, the poet. I'm sure she had lots to share. And she spoke to that huge crowd and reminded them of their difficult and painful history, and then invited them to focus their lives on these things: joy, courtesy, gentleness, and care. And her speech also included some reminders to that 870,000 people crowd. She said, "The old ones remind us that slavery's chains have paid for our freedom again and again." She went on to say, "The ancestors remind us, despite the history of pain, we are a going on people who will rise again." A going on people. Later, just a little later, she said, "And still we rise." Can you imagine her saying that to that crowd and how it felt and how loud it must have been in praise? That was in 1995, not so long ago. I invite you to go online and look at the information about that and kind of get a feeling of what that had to have been like. Because today, "Still We Rise" remains a call to faith and action. Even though the Million Man March focused primarily on Black men, there were many speakers and honorable guests of both genders. The march's long-term impact is difficult to assess, but organizers point to the fact that over 1.5 million Black men registered to vote for the first time over the course of the next year as evidence of their success. This soaring sentiment could be a summary of the struggle. There's a lot of alliteration I put in that sentence. For racial justice and for civil rights over the past 100+ years. Struggle. Born in a time of segregated hotels and widespread discrimination in voting booths, the NAACP was designed to promote equality of rights and to eradicate race prejudice among the citizens of the United States. It was founded by people of vision and deep conviction who were surprisingly a rather diverse group. In addition to several prominent African Americans, the founders included a Jewish man, a white woman, a German-born white, and a white man who was the son of a former slave-holding family. Now, February 12, 1909 was not an accidental birthday for the NAACP. The date was picked because it was a centennial of its own, the 100th birthday of President Abraham Lincoln, who emancipated the slaves during the Civil War. Just think about the progress made from 1809, when slavery was legal, to 1909, when the NAACP was founded. Maya Angelou's words, "With the help of the Lord, still we rise," continues to inspire many. I hope we can bring that to our hearts and our prayer lives. "Lord, order my steps. With your help, we can rise." To what were those words? Joy and what did she say back there? I should have put it in here. Oh, I'll get back to it. The prophet Isaiah knew the Lord well, thousands of years before the founding of the NAACP. And in today's passage, Isaiah reminds the people of Israel exactly who their Lord is, just in case they have forgotten. Isaiah knows the true power is held by the one Lord God. When human beings practice injustice and discrimination, there is a greater divine justice that will eventually prevail. This understanding of God and his power has inspired reformers all throughout human history. In his moving "I Have a Dream" speech, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. quoted Isaiah, and he said, "I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted and every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain and the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it together." He continued, "I have a dream of God's justice on earth. A dream of rough places made plain, with all flesh seeing it together. A dream of blacks and whites sitting down together at the table of brotherhood. A dream of oppression and injustice being transformed into freedom. Oh, and injustice being transformed into freedom and justice." This is the dream of Isaiah, the NAACP, and Martin Luther King. Is it your dream? Think about that. Is that my dream? That injustice and oppression can be transformed into freedom and justice? Is it the dream of all who know that God is completely and totally serious when he says, "Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, and plead for the widow"? In every place and time, faithful people are challenged to seek justice and rescue the oppressed. Whether the pressing issue of the day is voting rights or segregation or affordable housing or immigration reform or fair treatment in the workplace, in every era and community, each of us is challenged to follow God on the long march into the light of freedom, equality, and justice. But there is more to the message of Isaiah than a call to reform. This is also a promise of divine help. Oh, yeah. "Have you not known? Have you not heard?" asks the prophet. "The Lord gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless." This power was given to the members of the NAACP to fight statutes that legalized racial segregation, battled regulations that made it difficult for blacks to vote, and this power helped win the right of African Americans to serve as military officers in World War I. God's strength was given to those who fought the lynching of blacks, worked for the desegregation of schools, and pushed for a civil rights bill to end racial segregation. In all of these struggles, God gave power to the faint and strength to the powerless. The same is true today. God continues to give the gift of strength whenever we are faint or grow weary. Wherever we face injustice or discrimination, since there is always a danger that we will be seduced by the latest trend or temptation, it is essential for us to open our ears to what God is saying to us and follow the guidance that the Lord wants to give us. One of Isaiah's insights is that God is the creator of the ends of the earth, the maker of everything and everybody. If we take this seriously, then there is going to be no room for racism in our Christian beliefs and attitudes and action. Spiritual solutions always begin with waiting for the Lord and listening for what God wants us to be and to do. I just read this devotion from Jim Welch. He writes many, many devotions, and he suggests, waiting upon the Lord does not mean sitting around doing nothing and waiting for the Lord to suddenly appear in the clouds or to perform some great miracle. You mean we can't just sit on the couch and do nothing? He says, waiting upon the Lord means to wait on the Lord like a waiter serves a guest at a table, taking the guest's order and filling the order with dignity and patience. Waiting upon the Lord means to wait on the Lord like a waiter serves a guest at the table, filling the order with dignity and patience. When we seek God and ask for help, we gain strength to be that waiter. And God orders our steps. When we see others as equals and work to build relationships with people different from ourselves, when we establish partnerships across the boundaries of race, culture, and nationality, when we make any kind of effort to improve conditions in our homes, schools, neighborhoods, or job sites, God's love and power are with us. The Lord calls us to work for justice and equality in the world today. We can look back and we can learn, but today we can act. We should never back down and never give up because God will be true to his promise. That's been the experience of all who believe, from Isaiah to Martin Luther King to members of this church. As Maya Angelou says, we are going on people who will rise again, and still we rise. We will help each other and we will all be faith stepping forward with God's help. And one of the great strengths of the civil rights movement was this unbreakable link with the faith of the Black church. The diplomat and author James Weldon Johnson became a field secretary for the NAACP in 1916, and in 1921 he wrote the text to the hymn, Lift Every Voice and Sing, which became an anthem of the struggle of racial justice. Once called the Black National Anthem, this song appears in hymnals, in our hymnal. It will be our sending hymn, and we can stand in solidarity with the struggle and with solutions. And as we sing these words, we remember they are not Black words, nor are they white words. They are Christian words, words of faith in God who can guide us, protect us, and lead us into the bright light of freedom, equality, and justice as we faith step ahead. Please order our steps with your word. Amen.